So there are a few more points that have to come up in the first phone call. We need to make up where we're going to meet. In today's day and age, you also should take down her cellular phone number. Makes life easier. Where you're going to meet, I recommend choosing a place that if one of you is going to be late, the other one shouldn't suffer too much. There should be shade. There should be protection from the elements. There shouldn't be dogs. There shouldn't be mean people walking around. You have to know the neighborhoods. I'm saying some neighborhoods, it's not nice for a girl to be left all alone standing there waiting for a guy. So don't make it the end of a dark alley, you know. You might be late as much as you mean to be on time, and you should be on time. And same thing for your sake. Make it a place where you'll be comfortable waiting. Don't make it a busy, noisy street where you have nothing to do, or the corner down here by Kiryat Moshe and Herzl, where all your friends are coming by and they're waving and wondering what you're doing sitting there and waiting, which is another point. When you choose the place for your dates, I recommend going places where you won't bump into friends. So in your first phone conversation, you're going to choose the place of dating. Most girls do not want to be picked up from their home or near their home. Some girls do. It depends a little bit on where the girl's holding in life and what crowd she's in. Some girls want you to pick them up, and they want you to pick them up with the car. Depends on what crowds you're dating in. It's legitimate if you pick her up with a taxi, too. You can take a bus there and then order a taxi. You don't own a car. You can't take a car. There's nothing to do. Some girls will be perfectly fine with meeting somewhere and walking together. That depends a little bit on what circles the girl's from, and that you should be able to find out from the shadchan in advance. Does she expect you to show up and take her somewhere by car? Sometimes she lives in a neighborhood where there's nothing to do or nowhere to go. I don't buy that too much. You could go for a walk anywhere. There should be some place to go. And if you're going to her hometown, my policy was to usually tell the girl, if I'm coming to your hometown, you tell me where to go. I don't know. You know, I'm coming to your court. So help me out here. So girls didn't like that. Girls would fire back, oh, so now it's my responsibility. So it's okay, let's figure it out together. I don't know what options are there. Is there a park nearby? Is there a shopping center nearby? Is there I don't know. So sometimes I would do homework, and sometimes I'd say, okay, if you don't know, I'll make phone calls, I'll get back to you. Girls very often do not want to be picked up near their home or near their school because they don't want all their friends to see that they're dating or who they're dating. So we should be respectful of that. Same thing when you call. Don't have a long schmooze fest with her sister or her brother or someone else she might be uncomfortable with. Get quick and to the point. You want to talk to her. Is she available? Gamarnu. So we're making up a place to meet on our first date. And again, I would recommend a place where if you end up having to wait, or she ends up having to wait, should be comfortable. I like sitting on a bench, not standing. So a street corner, to my mind, is not good. I'd rather a place where I could sit. I've waited half hour for a girl. I've waited 2 hours for a girl. She's calling up every 20 minutes saying, I'm on my way. I'll be there in a minute. Oh, okay, fine. I finished, I don't know how many masechtot waiting for girls. That's okay. Take along a mishnayis. I believe that if you learn pocket mishnayis or pocket chumash when you're on your own, it's perfectly fine to take it on a date. I don't understand those people who say you shouldn't show up to a date with a sefer. Why not? I might wait for her. There's a mitzvah to waste my time. I understand on the date, but even on the date, if she goes to the restroom or something else, why shouldn't I have a sefer? I have to waste my time. So I'm not saying you should fake it if you're not the type of guy who does it usually, so don't do it on a date. But if you're the type of guy who usually has an MP3 player or a safer with you, so take one. Why waste your time? That's my opinion. I know there are those who disagree with me. I don't understand them. Let me be myself. If that's who I am, so that's who I am. Again, I'm not saying, you know, if she's getting boring during the conversation, don't pull out that safer and say, yeah, I'm listening, honey. Right? Obviously. But other than that, why not? I think I walked on every date with a safer. Because I walk around with a safer. Why should I waste time if I wait for a bus? Or I'm on a bus or whatever. But that's me. To each his own. So that's why I would choose a place with a bench. I would choose a place with a bathroom. I would choose a place where you could buy a drink. I would choose a place where there are no dogs. Girls get very scared when you go to Gan Soccer and there are dogs barking at them. I think you should choose a place where you could sit out of the elements, I remember I showed up for my first date and everyone asked me, where were you today? And I couldn't figure out, how did everyone know I just went on my first date? And the answer was, because I got totally sunburned sitting in the sun with the girl for 3 hours. So I came back from the date and everyone asked me, well, you went to Yam HaMelech today? I couldn't figure out, how did everyone know? Finally, I figured it out. My face was all red. I was all burnt. You know, you sit in yeshiva for a few years straight and then you show up one day all red and all sunburnt. They all know. So you might want to choose a place where you have some shade. And you have to choose a place where you won't have a problem with yichud. You go down on a hiking trail and you haven't seen anyone for 3 hours, you know you have a problem with yichud. You shouldn't go. There's a hiking trail next to Beit Vegan by Mount Herzl. I think there's a problem of yichud there. There's a hiking trail down Lifta. I think there's a problem of yichud there. You'll tell me certain parts of the year there are people there. Fine. But there are other parts of the year. I'm telling you two places that I went with girls. Girls took me on dates and they said, I took them, but then they told me that's a nice place to go. And as we started going, I said, you know, it's been 15 minutes. I haven't seen anyone here. I don't think this is kosher. I'm sorry. We have to turn back. So in those two places, maybe things changed. You know, I don't know current information. There's a nice hiking trail by the park down in Beit HaKerem. There are two parks in Beit HaKerem, and they both have nice hiking trails. I don't think there's a problem of yichud there. Gan HaTzmaut, there's all kinds of immoral activity going on at night. You shouldn't go there. I learned that the hard way. I was a newcomer, right? Olech Hadash. So a girl took me there. But when you start seeing needles and stuff, you start realizing it's not the place I want to be. What? Yeah, that's not far from the Mamila. So maybe I was told today it's better, but I haven't gone to find out. So I like to go on dates to the Old City. I like to go on dates to the Kotel, to Me'ah Sha'arim. I like to have a date even in the Old City by the park there. There are a few parks where you can watch kids play. It gives you a lot of time to speak. You have what to talk about. You walk in Me'ah Sha'arim, you see people who live differently than you do. That also is an interesting point of conversation. Me'ah Sha'arim, Geula, we said Beit HaKerem. I'll get to you in a second, Uri. You could go to Malcha, but this time of year, you might not feel so comfortable with all the immodesty going on there. I don't believe in going to Center One. One of the reasons is that when I was in yeshiva, so I used to wear vests. In yeshiva, it was very cold. So all winter I'd wear vests. Now when you're wearing a vest, all you have to iron are the sleeves, right? Then I'd show up for a date at Center One and it was broiling hot. And I'm sitting there sweltering heat and the girl would go, why don't you take off your vest? And what am I supposed to do? Because I didn't iron the rest of the shirt, only the sleeves. So either I'd iron the rest of the shirt or invariably I'd forget to do that and I nicked Center One also because there are a lot of people dating there. I found it to be very uncomfortable. Center One is just down from the Tachna Merkazit, that shopping center. You could go for a walk. There's a nice walk in the beginning of Romeima. There's like a boardwalk when you go down the beginning of Mem Gimel Street. So Stamkaha you could walk in Romeima. That's a nice neighborhood to walk. It's not far from here. Chances are you won't see anyone. I don't think it's so comfortable to go for a date on a bus. First of all, it's not comfortable to sit in such close proximity. Secondly, any date where you're spending the whole date sitting is going to be a hard date for conversation. And that's why I would also avoid the hotel lobbies, at least for starters, because it's not conducive to conversation. When you're walking or when you're outside, so even if there are moments of silence, you don't care. You know, it's interesting, you're out. When you're sitting in a hotel lobby and you're facing one another and there's silence, it's not as comfortable. One of the things you should know is not to be scared of silence. It's fine if there's silence. When you're with your best friend, there will also be moments of silence. You can't talk nonstop and don't start saying stupid things just because there's silence. So there's silence. The way normal conversations go is that with time, the conversation picks up. You say something, she says something, and the conversation picks up. You don't have to talk nonstop, and if there's silence, don't be scared of silence. The worst thing you should do is, what did you tell me again? Where'd you go to high school again? And what'd you? Don't say stupid things. Let the conversation happen naturally. And I would sometimes tell a girl during the date, if it bothers you that there's silence, you can break the silence, and if not, I don't feel like it's my responsibility. The conversation will take off on its own with time. And let's go easy. I think that the best date is an easygoing date. Yeah, Uri.
Oh, I was going to say, you're talking about like choosing like places for dates, like not secluded. But I also have concern for places that's overcrowded where people get in your business, especially in Israel and in Judaism. People do that. I got screened out one time just because I was with my sister Meshar, and we were both dressed, whatever, like very very nice. But like she was my sister, we weren't doing it. I was just talking to them, and I got screened out by people because. I couldn't even understand what they were screaming at me because it was in Hebrew. I'm telling them, I don't understand Hebrew. They're still screaming at me in Hebrew. And I'm like, they're thinking, like, if I ever wanted to go on a date, like, places like this, like, overcrowded with people who want to be in your business, is like the last place I want to go.
Right. So Uri brought up an excellent point. I strongly recommend you go to places that are overcrowded with people where you'll end up getting yelled at, because I think that part of what you want to see is how one another reacts to certain scenarios. I'm dead against sterile dating. I want you to date in situations where you'll have to contend with life. I want you to see how the girl deals with the beggar who doesn't leave her alone. It was an eye-opener to me when I was with a girl and a beggar wouldn't leave her alone, and finally she goes to him, "You accept plastic?" It was interesting to see, meaning, can I pay with credit card? So it's one thing to say, you know, I have nothing to give you. It's another thing to make a joke at the beggar's expense. It was an eye-opener to me. It was a last date, but it was an eye-opener to me. It was an eye-opener for me to see how she reacted when a woman started chasing after and told her in the Kotel, "I still know this woman, she's still there. I am the daughter of a Kohen, my blessing's a blessing and my curse is a curse. You better give me a donation or else." Okay, it's interesting. One of the things I do want you to see with time is how the girl contends with the scenarios you will contend with in real life, like that unpleasant waiter, like the unpleasant shopkeeper in Ben Yehuda. And that's why I do recommend that in the course of the dating, I understand if not in the beginning, but in the course of the dating, you should have scenarios where you're going to bump into people. There's nothing wrong with that. That's life. Yes. I want you to contend with life on the date. Fine. So if it were a date, she'd see that there's nothing you can do and there are annoying people and you deal with them calmly. Fine. I have no issue with that. Quite the contrary. I want you to deal with things. I learned a lot from being on a date with a girl when a kid fell down, broke open his head, and we watched how the different mothers reacted. And that was a very interesting point of conversation. The kid's own mother ran away. She was a young mother, and she couldn't stand the sight of blood, and she ran away. The other women went and picked up the kid and started dealing with him and brought back the mother and calmed her down. Now, that was just interesting to see the reaction. It was interesting to see, different things. What happens when a girl's best friend meets her in the middle of the date, and suddenly she walks over and hugs her and kisses her, or her former teacher? I want that to happen. I don't need it to happen on the first date you're dating a girl, but I would like it to happen during the process. I want you to see real life experience, not just what I call sterile dating. You're sitting there in your own little corner in the coffee shop and no one bothers you, and picture perfect scene.
There's time for that, though.
Right, that's what I said. It doesn't have to be on the first date, but I don't care if it happens on the first date either. Big deal.
Also, she should see how you...
That's her problem. That's not my problem. Yes.
Is that the problem with the hotel lobby? It's too sterile?
It's also very hard to have conversation. Let's sit down, you and I, and say, now let's talk. It's a very unnatural situation. Even someone who you would ordinarily have a lot to talk to in that kind of setting, it stunts conversation. After you've dated a girl a few times and you feel more natural with one another, so then sometimes you can opt for that. I see it as a cop-out. Go do something interesting. You have over here the Hebrew library. In the Hebrew University, they have a library that's free. And in there, they have exhibitions right here on Givat Ram. It's not a far walk. Across the bridge and across. They have exhibitions there for free. So they have a standard Einstein exhibition for free. And then they have revolving exhibitions where they have all kinds of things. Sometimes they have old Sifrei Torah. I'm not sure if every exhibition there is modest. I don't know. Every time I went there, so that museum is a free museum. And if you don't like the museum, like I dated a girl once, I walked in and started talking to her about Einstein, and we're looking, and I was fascinated, and she was yawning. And it took about 2 minutes for me to understand that she had zero interest in anything we were looking at. So we spent the rest of the date outside looking at the roses. They have a beautiful rose garden right there. So, fine. You know, that doesn't mean that girl isn't for you. It just means that's one interest you don't share. But you have another option there. I don't know if you could buy drinks there, but I guarantee you they're very expensive if you can. But okay, but the entrance is free. It used to be free. I assume it's still free. In the library, you can't talk. So there's no, you can't date her in the library. But in the... What? I tried that. I took my wife there once, and that's when I found out you can't talk in the library. So we went into the library, and they told us to be quiet. So we walked up and down the aisles for about 10 seconds and walked out. Okay. But there's a lot of interesting places to go, and sitting in a hotel lobby, it's very hard. Sometimes it just goes, and sometimes it doesn't, and that doesn't mean the relationship can't go. Now, you take a leisurely walk through a park, so then even if there are moments of silence, you're more comfortable with it. You should try to sit down on a bench. This doesn't have to be a marathon, a workout, you know. Good idea to sit down also, and we'll discuss how you do that. I guess we'll discuss that now. So there are two ways you could ask a person a question. One way is, do you want a drink? Do you want to sit down? So then let me reinterpret that in girl language. Yes, I want to beg you for a drink. Please buy me a drink. Yes, I have to beg you to sit down. Please, let's sit down. And the way a girl would prefer to be asked, and also a guy, is why don't we get a drink, or maybe we should sit down. If you make it as though it's something you're doing on her behalf, it's a favor for her, so then you might find yourself the way I found myself. This is how I learned this. I went out on a date, and the girl, I still remember this was in Beit Vegan, and she was walking like it was a marathon. I could hardly keep up. My tongue was out. She's zoom, back and forth, back and forth. And I'm wondering, how could you have a conversation like this? I asked her, do you want to sit down? So she was like, no, this is perfect. You know, she's chugging along, and I'm huffing and puffing. And then after another 2-3 minutes, I said, maybe you want to sit down? She's like, no, this is great. And about 5 minutes later, I said, I need to sit down. So she was like, you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, so it's nicer to ask that way. Maybe we should sit down. Maybe you want a drink. Or maybe we should get a drink, not you want a drink. We'll discuss that later, about who buys, who pays, what you buy. I think that if the girl is coming to the first date or to any date, and she's coming on a bus ride, she's coming from far away, the decent thing is to buy something to drink. She is a becholzot, she's coming from far away. You want to surprise her with a bottle of Nest tea and cups, fine, anything, it doesn't matter, but you should have something. Wine is out of the question. Anything alcoholic is out of the question. I'm happy you asked that. Thank you. Yes, it is improper to my mind that on a date you should drink anything alcoholic. Thank you very much for mentioning that. Okay, so our first conversation, we said, could last anywhere from a minute and a half, 2 minutes, to as long as it takes. And we're not looking to have the first date in the first conversation, but if it takes off, it takes off. And we're setting up, we're just breaking the ice, setting up a place to meet tomorrow, exchanging relevant information. She might not be able to meet tomorrow, so you'll set up the date whenever works. I don't think you should push it off more than a few days unless it's really necessary. Sometimes she'll say, look, something unexpected happened. My mother's undergoing surgery tomorrow and I have to take care of the kids. I can't see us meeting till next week. I'm fine, so whatever it will be. But in general, you're trying to date within a short time frame of your first conversation. Yes?
I was told by some friends that it's better not to schedule a second date. It's better to go with the shotgun. They will...
We didn't get there yet. Oh. We didn't get to the second date yet. What happens if in the first phone conversation you think this is really not it? So, usually you're stuck. You agree to the conversation, that means you agree to the date. But sometimes you'll be lucky. Sometimes you'll be very lucky. I was set up with a girl out in Tel Aviv or Bnei Brak, and in the first conversation, it seemed like it was really not it. And then she said, you know, why don't we have a little bit longer conversation, and then we'll be able to tell if it really makes sense to have a first date. And I was so happy. I said, you know what, that's such a good idea. And, you know, once she initiated it, so fine. And 3 minutes into the conversation, she said, she basically interviewed me. She said, well, are you A, B, C, and D? And when she was done, she said, look, I really think we're looking for different things in life. And I said, you're right. And we were both thankful we saved ourselves an evening. But that was a spunky girl. Most girls wouldn't do that. What? Yeah, I'm saying if it happens, fine. If she initiates it. But you have to be a gentleman. You agreed to the first conversation. That means you agreed to the first date. And usually you can't tell too much from a conversation. Don't give it too much weight. You agreed to the first date. Go with an open mind. Okay. One more point maybe we should discuss. Okay, we'll discuss it, but I guess it's relevant here too. Her looks. You show up to the first date, and you see she's cross-eyed, and she has a crooked smile. And she's two heads taller than you. Give it time. Give it time. I had a chavrusa in yeshiva that had an issue with his eyes. And when one eye looked straight, the other eye looked the other way. He could never focus his two eyes in the same direction. So I decided, you know, I'll befriend him, you know, out of pity. But we became excellent friends. And after high school, someone called me up about him for a shidduch. And I went on and on about what a wonderful person he is, because he really is. He's a great guy. And then I hung up the phone and I said, you know, I forgot to tell him about the thing with his eyes. I didn't have a number to call back. That was the days before caller ID. I kicked myself. I said, you know, I have known him for so long. I forgot that he even has that. I didn't see it. You know,
does that matter?
Fine. Does that matter? If someone asks you, does he have any medical issue I should know about? You sort of, you say, I can't think of any. Right, I couldn't think of any on the spot. But that's because we were good friends. And I got so used to it, I didn't see it anymore. It didn't exist in my mind. I didn't notice it. And you should know that can happen. You meet someone, don't judge. I know the first thing you see about a person is their looks. But you know what? You get to know the person. And in due time, if you like the person, you have time to nix it over looks. I'm not one of those people who tell you looks don't count. The Gemara says looks count. The Gemara says you shouldn't engage a girl without seeing her, because she might not find favor in your eyes. All I'm saying is, give it a little bit of time. And if you like the girl over time, could be the looks won't matter to you. So give it time. And in this one, I would also say, don't trust your friends. Sometimes friends, I had one girl I was set up with. After I agreed to date her, a guy walks over to me and he says, I heard you agreed to date so-and-so. I was very taken aback. What's it his business? How does he know? So I said, I'm apprehensive now. I said, you know, yeah. So he says, look, I don't know if you already said yes to the Shadchan, but I just want to tell you, I feel bad for the girl, and I want to save her unnecessary pain. If you're one of those guys that looks makes zero difference to you, then you should date her. But otherwise, you should know that she's probably the most horrible-looking girl I ever dated. And you know, if you're telling me looks make zero difference, you're fine. But anything short of that, why would you want? I want to save the girl unnecessary pain. So, you know, I was shocked by that one. So I said, okay, but I already said yes, so whatever. Showed up to the date. One of the nicest looking girls I ever dated. You know, I was floored. You know, I remember walking down the street to the date and telling myself, how big a tzaddik are you really? You know, I'm wondering to myself, okay, you know, it's one date. What's wrong? I didn't agree to more than that. I'm a human being. Whatever. Okay, fine. Show up to the date and I'm thinking like, what was he thinking? What? And on the contrary, I had another girl that every time I called up to ask about the girl, every person mentioned how gorgeous this girl was. So, you know, I'm getting ready to the date and I'm coming there thinking, who knows what... She was by far one of the worst looking girls I ever dated. No, so what? You know, in Hebrew they say, I didn't mix it because of that, but al tam va rechen malit vakech. You can't argue with people about their taste. What one person thinks like this, another person thinks like that. And it shocked me, you know, you wonder, is it because she was so bad looking that they made sure to tell me she's good looking? I don't know. Or maybe they really thought she was good looking. I don't care. It doesn't matter. But what it taught me is that what one person thinks is gorgeous, the next guy... I had a guy who I was setting up for years. And every time he'd come back and tell me, you know, I'm sorry, but you got to do better than that. And I'd say, what's wrong? She's a good girl. Yeah, but her looks weren't good enough. And I'm really particular, and this really has to be top-notch, and I'm really into aesthetics, and I'm an artist, and this and that. Unfortunately, as I'm telling you this, I'm remembering more than one guy who said this to me. Now I'm remembering even more. Yeah, so I don't know what these guys wanted, but they thought they were marrying models. Fine, okay. Don't go by what other people say. You know, certain things are objective, but most things, when it comes to looks, different people like different looks, and it's very hard. Just because the next guy, I had a guy who I was trying to set up, he's still single, and there was a girl who was a perfect match for him. But his roommate had dated her and came back and said that her looks were not great. So he was never willing to meet her. And I think that's ridiculous. But he felt like, I'm going to get his leftovers, you know. I don't think it's right that guys talk to their roommates about the girls they're dating. It's not it's not respectful to the girl. It's not respectful to yourself. Consult with, I don't think it's anyone's business. You want to talk to someone who respect their opinion. Someone married, someone who has experience, a Rebbe of yours, a parent of yours, an uncle, an aunt, your adoptive families, I hear. You talk to your roommate, he's in the same boat as you are. Well, what does he know? With all due respect. And even if he does know, it can very often backfire. He'll be dating the girl, he'll be on the verge of marrying her, and then he'll hear that, oh, so you're the one that dated David and he said that. Suddenly it puts a whole new twist on everything. I don't think it's right, and I don't think it's respectful to the girl. Why should your roommate hear all about her? It's none of his business. And the flip side, if I were talking to girls, girls do the same thing, which is not right. They also talk to their roommates about the guy they were dating, which is wrong. I had it on dates. Where girls would quote me something that I said to another girl, and it was like, how'd you know that? That didn't come up in this date. I have my ways. Ah, so the girls are blabbing too. You know, okay, fine. I didn't tell anyone I got smicha except for the girl I was dating. I was dating a girl when I had to fly in to receive the smicha in the United States. And I didn't tell anyone on principle. I didn't know if I was going in the direction of rabbinics, and I didn't want girls to be blinded by it. Even in Merkaz Arav, no one knew. All the years I was there, I had smicha for almost a decade. I was in the yeshiva. I didn't say a word. But the girl blabbed. I don't know if she or someone else, but suddenly other girls knew. How did they know? I didn't tell anyone. No one in Israel knew. Okay, other than that girl, because I had to leave the date. I had to fly to the United States for a weekend. So I felt I had to explain why I'm disappearing from the scene. But I'm just saying, it's not right. I don't think it's right that girls talk. I don't think it's right that boys talk. You should respect the other person's privacy. It's not right. Yeah?
The story you told about the guy telling you about this girl, who is he to tell you, what is attractive to you and what is not? Like, even if that's the case, that's something you decide on your own. B, tragic story is there's a guy...
By the way, end of story, she is happily married with kids, and we've worked together on other shidduchim because she tried setting me up with certain girls, and I called her back even a year or two ago. I called her back about a girl that she tried setting me up. Catch this, 12 years ago, she tried setting me up. I still have it in my notes. The girl, who's the one who tried setting me up, and we still worked to set up shiduchim. So she's happily married with a bunch of kids. He's still single. Same guy who spoke about her. Interesting, no? Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say the kind of story is there was a guy who was very interested in a girl, and the girl was somewhat interested in the guy, and like things looked like they were going to work out. But then the circle of friends on her who knew the guy said, "What are you dating him for? He doesn't look that good. He has the face of the monkey. Blah, blah, blah. Why?" She's like, "It's my taste." Like, "Oh, you have poor taste." Blah, blah, blah. The kids are she. Started losing interest in it. That guy was me. And her friends told her that this guy, he's not good looking, blah, blah, blah. Like, it really hurts people when people say stuff like that. It's really a wrong thing to do to, like, speak out against somebody for looks.
100%. 100%. And the story you gave, I had an identical story here in Israel where a guy was dating a girl and they were on the verge of getting engaged. And his friend started getting up and saying, she's not good looking enough for you. And he came to me and asked me, and I said, are they crazy? You think she looks good? What do you care what they think? You know, he broke up with her. They were engaged. He broke the engagement. But then he, after we spoke, they got married. Today they're married with kids. He's lucky that she was willing to take him back. You know, but stupid friends. He has to care what they think her looks are. Stupid friends, okay. And I guess, I don't know. I don't know how it affects, how a person lets it affect him, but what can I say? Fine. It makes a big difference. And people should not talk about someone else's looks. Well, I don't think it's our business to talk about someone else. So you show up to the first date, and I'm saying, even if there's a surprise, she's taller than you and you didn't want that, or she's heavier than you thought she was, or she, whatever. Older than you, short of, extreme situations. So what if she's 65 and you're 12? I mean, fine. Okay, no, I'm saying, you understand, sometimes it's like, this is just like highway robbery, what they did to me. Like the guy from Mahon Meir who showed up to the date, and it turns out that the girl was divorced 3 times with kids, and no one bothered telling him, and he's all of 21, and she's like 32. And they, she's about 25, right? Person has to be open to different people and give it time. You might get used to her looks and you might actually find her attractive and funny and worthwhile to continue dating. When you say yes to another date, you're saying yes to one more date. When you're saying no to life. So you have to be far more confident to say no than you have to be to say yes. What do we discuss on the date? So let's begin with what we don't discuss. You don't discuss who you hate. You don't discuss your issues with your father, mother, sister, brother, etc. You don't discuss your past relationships. You don't discuss transgressions. You don't discuss your deep, dark history or your skeletons. That's no one's business at this point. Now, you have diabetes. There's room to bring that up. You have a history. Okay. Either she knows that when dating a chozer b'tshuva, she should assume he has a history, or she doesn't know and will find the time and place and way to share that with her.
Do you mention your b'tshuva?
I assume that that's a major part of who you are. So I don't believe you can date well without mentioning that. But I don't think you should mention the girlfriend you broke up with 4 years ago or any of the other things which you had in your past life. I think there's time to bring that up. I think another point which needs to be considered is your conversation about spirituality and your relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, which sometimes for a chozer b'tshuva is very vivid, and a chozer b'tshuva can discuss a lot of things about the tshuva process and seeing the Ribbono Shel Olam in their life and their connection to Torah and mitzvos. And for someone who is from birth, they could be very uncomfortable in such a conversation. They could feel the person is imbalanced. And even though that's a major part of who you are, I would push that off for a later time. Let them see the balanced parts of who you are. And even though this is a balanced part of who you are, someone who isn't a chozer b'tshuva doesn't know how to digest that. They don't live life that way. And even though you might be able to connect with them, it's throwing a lot onto them by bringing it up in the first date. I've had girls tell me, look, this guy is too fresh in the tshuva process. And I'd say, what do you mean? He's one of the most balanced guys I have. And they'd say, yeah, but if he shows up to the date and he starts talking about how you see God in life, and he saw God and that's what made him do tshuva, I feel like I'm going to a preacher. This is a sermon. This isn't a date. So here he was sharing with her something that was very meaningful to him, but she didn't know how to understand it. And it goes the other way too. So sometimes you have two chozrim b'tshuva, and later on we will discuss whether it's recommended for a chozer b'tshuva to marry a chozer b'tshuva, for a ger to marry a ger. But you don't know how the other person is hearing it. So even though that might be a major part of who you are, I would push off bringing that up. You could discuss that on the third date, on the fourth date, on the fifth date. I'm not saying you should leave it for the 20th date, but I don't think it should be on the first date. On the first date, let's get acquainted with our common ground. Let's understand who we are, where we're headed, a little bit about where we're coming from without going into the details that are embarrassing or that should be embarrassing even if they aren't. Let's understand a little bit more about who we are. And let's find common ground and let's see if we have chemistry. From there, with time, we will expand to the other areas and we'll also discuss how much of our past and future we should really be discussing. Yes, Yoel?
You mentioned not talking about, let's say, diabetes or other health issues, but isn't that one of the things that either the person that's going to be introducing you is going to say, like, what is this person's health issues? Or she might ask in the first date, do you have any health issues? Then.
So I think that we should leave that for the next class because it requires a broader discussion. Remind me, please, next week we'll discuss health issues and when to bring them up, how to bring them up, if to bring them up, depending, each of those has to be addressed. Yes?
If the guy to outright ask you a question that fits into one of those categories of things you don't think should be mentioned on the first day, should you then still answer it, or you should, you can't really avoid the question, then it seems like you're hiding something.
So, I think that that depends a little bit on the chemistry, but I think that the fact that someone asked the question does not obligate you to answer it. You have to have enough self-confidence to first come to terms with that yourself. Once you've come to terms with that yourself and you realize it's not about being dishonest, it's about that I don't want to share that with her right now, so then you could figure out how to diplomatically either give her an answer that's not an answer, or postpone the conversation. If you want to be blunt and abrupt and leave her very curious, you could say, why don't we leave that for a later date, if we ever get there. No, I wouldn't add that, if we ever get there. I would not add that. But I once had a girl that asked me very uncomfortable questions. It reached a point where I said to her, I'm willing to answer every question you ask me if you answer it first. So every question she'd ask, I'd say, okay, go ahead. And suddenly she says, she'd blush and say, no, never mind. Now, I was a novice then. I should have ended it then and there. But I was consulting with people who I thought had more experience than me, and they didn't see it that way. I disagree with them, you know. But I think that, let's say, she asks you, how many girlfriends did you have before you became religious? And you say, wow, that's such an interesting question. You know, when people aren't religious, or they lead a totally different lifestyle, and it's such a blessing when people become religious. And I was wondering, were you religious your whole life? And your parents and the whole mishpacha, where did you come from? All the way back in Europe, they were religious. Wow, I wonder what life was. You understand? You could veer the conversation. You didn't answer her. Do it intelligently. What? Even if she's intelligent, then she might come back and say, you know, you didn't answer the question. And you'll say, yeah, I know. You know, she wants to put you on the spot, so you can answer her on the spot, right? Yes, David.
What about testing the waters out with somebody who doesn't speak English?
What about dating someone who doesn't speak English? Remind me to get back to that. It's a broader conversation about whether you should date from birth, whether you should date someone who speaks a different language. So, Be'ezrat Hashem, next class, we'll have to discuss those questions, plus the questions of health issues. Anything else? Okay.